Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to Monday's edition of All Subjects Everything. I'm your host, Chris Stevens. Hopefully you finished up all that last-minute Christmas shopping. If so, you're doing this week, God help you. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can also check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my Steam listeners are doing from time to time. You can also check us out via Twitter if you're following along there. Just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. And remember, when you can't listen to us live, we're available on iTunes. You go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything under podcast, download the shows for free, rate us from 1 star to 5 stars, write a little review, let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear us see in future shows, and we will do our very best to accommodate you. And for you smartphone users, All Subjects Everything is available on the Stitcher mobile app. You can download Stitcher to your smartphone. Search for All Subjects Everything there. Take us with you in the car, the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. You are more than welcome to do so. And don't forget, we have a poll topic on our Facebook page, facebook.com/AllSubjectsEverything. You can go to that page, like it, you know, find poll topics, questions, news and updates on what we're working on, past show links, so on and so forth. And again, if you missed it, the question of the week on the All Subjects Everything Facebook page is, what is your Christmas wish or Christmas wishes? It can be something, you know, material. It can be something, you know, personal, physical. It can be something universal, something you want, wish for the world. You know, we'll talk more about that, you know, as we get closer to the holiday, because we're about on a 3-day work week here, so. But today, though, I wanted to share my thoughts on, you know, a couple of interesting topics, you know, relevant to the black community, as it were. And first things first, I want to get in on the mythical Black College National Football Championship game, which was played this past weekend in Atlanta, Georgia, between the MEAC champion North Carolina A&T State University Aggies and the Braves of Alcorn State University out of Mississippi. I haven't talked much about the Celebration Bowl because I've been its most ardent hater. I'm not even going to lie to you about that. I've literally you know, been the one saying that it's a joke. You know, ESPN and ABC is going to embarrass us, and you people are going to regret ever, you know, signing up for the Celebration Bowl bit. And as it turns out, I have to admit, for the first time in my life, that I was wrong. Celebration Bowl was excellent this weekend. North Carolina A&T won 41-34 in a very tightly contested ball game. Over 35,000 people showed up, which was the paid attendance, which is incredible considering the game could have had a bigger draw if Grambling was able to beat Alcorn State in the SWAC championship game, but it wasn't happening. Alcorn State's a very good football team, but North Carolina A&T proved that the MEAC, you know, at least for 1 year, is, you know, the best black college football conference around. And the problem I always had with the MEAC and the SWAC, you know, disassociating itself from the NCAA and the Football Championship Subdivision Playoffs is that really, to me, didn't, you know, make us, you know, top-notch priority. Because our product isn't anything like, you know, the North Dakota States, the Sam Houston States, the University of Delaware's, the James Madison's, the, you know, Georgia Southern's. Of course, now Georgia Southern's an FBS school, but they were dominant in the FCS for at least 20, 25 years. But as it turned out, the weekend, the first Celebration Bowl was an absolute success. Even I can admit that. Because, number one, we had a good football game. It wasn't like, you know, either team was making so many stupid mistakes, you know, and the referees were actually silent for the most part. And nobody really embarrassed themselves. A&T got off to a good start. Alcorn State responded, and A&T had the final blow. Number two, speaking of A&T and, you know, their final shot being the big one, the country got introduced to Tariq Cohen on Saturday. To me, that might have been the biggest thing to come out of the game other than it actually being played, is that NFL scouts and the country got to see one of our best players, and boy, did he show out. 295 yards rushing, 58 yards receiving, 3 rushing touchdowns, all of which came over 80 yards, over 70 yards, excuse me. And this is a kid now who's only a junior. He's won the last 2 MEAC Offensive Player of the Year awards going away, and he's got 1 year of eligibility left. Now the question is, will he take that 1 year of eligibility left? Because at this point, the whole country's seen that even though at 5'6 and 175 pounds, this kid literally could be the next Darren Sproles. And that, to me, was something that I hoped for, even though I was totally against the Celebration Bowl. I was hoping that at least one kid would kind of, you know, establish himself as somebody that NFL scouts can look at and say, maybe we need to give these HBCUs another look. And that's what I was hoping for. And sure enough, Tariq Cohen did exactly what I hoped one of the players would do. And, of course, all bets were, you know, on him anyway as a top-flight athlete, you know, in black college football. I mean, the game Saturday, I mean, the kid just, you know, his vision, his line of vision as a running back is impressive. And credit to his line for opening up some gigantic holes for him. And the speed factor, nobody could catch him. Nobody could catch him. I mean, it's hard to catch a guy that's 5'6", a buck 75 anyway. But still, there are some people that are 5'6", a buck 75 that are slow as hell. Not Tariq Cohen. And his previous claim to fame was the ability to catch footballs while doing backflips, standing backflips. Pretty impressive trick. But now the country gets to see that he's actually a damn good football player, NFL caliber. You know, one of those third down, scat back, return specialist type of cats. And that's all you can really ask for, you know, from a Celebration Bowl perspective, from the athletic perspective, is that you get to show your best teams and your best players, and hopefully, you know, pro football scouts will take a look at them and say, well, maybe we need to start looking at these kids a little more, you know, stop discounting the fact that they go to HBCUs. So that's the number two takeaway I took from the Celebration Bowl. Number three, the attendance. Yes. Stephen Gaither over at HBCU Game Day, who does an absolutely phenomenal job covering black college sports, said 35,000 for this game would be a win. And I agreed with him. I said to myself, it's probably going to be closer to 15 or 20. Sure enough, attendance was 35,500 or something like that. So it was closer to 36,000. And considering this isn't even like, you know, a rivalry game, this isn't even like, you know, an old HBC rivalry. It's not, you know, FAMU Tennessee State. It's not Tennessee State Southern. It's not Southern FAMU. It's not Grambling FAMU. It's not Hampton Howard. You know, I mean, it was your two conference champions. A&T is a very well known black school. They are. Alcorn State, not so much. I mean, they did have probably the greatest small college quarterback ever of all time to come out of their ranks, the late, great Steve Air McNair. But Alcorn State, you know, they aren't on a national level like A&T is. You know, A&T folks travel heavy all the time. That's why I was glad they won, because there was going to be no doubt that A&T was going to show up and show out in Atlanta, Georgia this weekend. No doubt about it. But the Alcorn State side was pretty heavy, too. And it makes sense because, you know, Alcorn, Natchez, Mississippi really ain't that far from Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, it's a distance. It's a distance. But, you know, they traveled pretty nice, too. And they made for a nice crowd. It wasn't one of those disinterested crowds where people were just sitting there, you know, hemming and hawing. Like, they were really into the game. They were really into the game. And that matters. Because it's going to be interesting to see if there's ever a matchup that looks very unpalatable for the Celebration Bowl. Like, there might be a year that my alma mater, Delaware State, wins the MEAC, and by the off chance that Texas Southern or Prairie View wins the SWAC. How do you angle that game? A&T and Alcorn was pretty easy, because A&T had a nice, you know, cadre of NFL players, and of course Alcorn State had Steve McNair, and A&T is, you know, one of the top engineering schools for blacks, one of the top schools for black people, period, in the South. Alcorn State, you know, it comes out of that SWAC tradition, and they were able to play on that. So for all intents and purposes, you got to hope that your best teams in the MEAC and SWAC every year are teams that people have at least heard of in passing. And that was what was happening this year with A&T and Alcorn. A&T and Grambling would have put 50,000 butts in the seats. Easy. Easy. Absolutely easy. It would have been no contest that Alcorn and, I mean, that Grambling and A&T would have, you know, pretty much filled up the Georgia Dome. But you get what you get, you know, with the conference championship. And Alcorn, you know, again, they showed up and did everything justice. You know, there were a lot of social activities, ESPN, you know, being that they're in partnership with ABC, you know, had SportsCenter Live from Atlanta, had the drum line, you know, talk to players, talk to fans, talk to coaches. It was a very well-done event, and that's number four for me, and that's ESPN and ABC really did a good job of promoting and broadcasting this game. They really did. They really and truly did. Like, I have no complaints whatsoever about the Celebration Bowl. For the first time, well, there's one. There's one. Where was the halftime show? Where was the halftime show? Can anybody tell me where the halftime show was? If you know anything about black college football, you know that people will keep their asses in the seats at halftime to watch the bands. Sometimes that's kind of sort of, it detracts from the game and it takes away from the players on the field, but people were going to stay to see the bands. Instead, we got a canned halftime bowl preview of the bowls that nobody else gave a damn about. My man Curtis Tarver over at 80minutes.com said, you know, ESPN had a huge hole in their Celebration Bowl coverage, and here's the hint. They filled it with Mark May. And Mark May is a top-flight college analyst now. Don't get it wrong, but people wanted to see the bands. That's what black college football is all about. It's the game on the field, and it's the bands in the stands. And when they take the field at halftime, they have your full attention. So that's the only fault I can find with ESPN's coverage, is that we did not get a halftime show. Other than that, Celebration Bowl was a success. And I, Chris Stevens, HBCU alum, HBCU sports enthusiast, HBCU aficionado, have to admit that I was dead-ass wrong about the Celebration Bowl. I was. takes a big man to admit his mistakes. And, yeah, I made a mistake. I said, I'm not watching this crap. I'm not even following the Twitter account. My petty knows no bounds. I'm not even following the Twitter account. I don't give a damn about the Celebration Bowl. This is corny. We should still be in the FCS playoffs. Well, from a monetary standpoint, no, we shouldn't. Because, number one, I had no idea that it took $30,000 bids at minimum for the MEAC and SWAC champions to have to apply to host an FCS playoff game. For one, I didn't even know you had to apply. I didn't know you had to apply until Dell State won the MEAC in 2007, the year after I graduated. I didn't know that. I just thought it was a given that as a conference champion, you get to host a playoff game. Doesn't work out like that. So, and $30,000 just for a football game is not something most of the Division I HBCUs have to begin with. So they end up losing money going to the playoffs. Instead, the conference, every team in the conference gets $1 million aside from the Celebration Bowl. Split up among 25 schools, that's about $40,000. No, wait a minute. Actually, it's closer to $50,000. Wait a minute. Let me get my calculator started. This is before I, because, you know, there are two MEAC schools that don't play football, Coppin State and UMES. And I'm telling you now, if UMES ever decided to put together a football team, they would be dangerous because they're right there on the Eastern Shore where a lot of big corn-fed athletes play. So if they ever decided to, you know, bring football back, that would be interesting. But they get a cut of the Celebration Bowl stuff. So it's 13 MEAC teams and it's 12 SWAC teams. Divide that by 25. Actually, damn, that's $80,000 a school. Excuse me. I'm sorry. So, yeah, $80,000 a school. And you don't even have to play in the Celebration Bowl to get $80,000. That's free money. That's impressive. So, yeah. I was wrong. So it's a money-making proposition. You make the money. You get your two best teams on TV. You get your athletes seen by NFL scouts. You get to let people into your world as to why HBCU sports matter. And that's why I was very pleased with Saturday, because nobody from the media said or did anything stupid. Like, I was just waiting for somebody. You know, I was waiting for SB Nation or Bleachers Report or Sports Illustrated or somebody to just do something stupid like a chicken and watermelon joke, or even, you know, just, you know, a bunch of dancing and stuff about the bands and whatnot. No, their Twitter accounts were actually invested in the game. In the game. And they called it the first bowl of the season. Like, they didn't call it the Black College National Championship. They didn't call it an exhibition. They called it the first bowl of bowl season. That's a win. That's a win. And even I have to admit that as badly as I wanted, you know, I wanted one of our HBCUs to be a national champion, you can't argue with every school getting $80,000 in that kind of exposure. Positive exposure, mind you. Can't argue with it. Can't argue with it. Much as I hate to do this, got to give credit to MEAC President Commissioner Dennis Thomas. This was his baby. This was his baby, because he long been talking about pulling out of the playoffs, like 10 years before a Celebration Bowl. He was tired of the playoffs, and I thought he was out of his mind. He knows a little bit more than I do. And, you know, they pulled it off. They pulled it off. So credit to the MEAC and the SWAC for putting on a great game. Kudos to ESPN ABC for, you know, giving it the proper promotion and broadcast that it deserves. And kudos to everybody else who actually took the damn thing seriously. It's a win all around. It's rare for me to say something like that, but it's a win all around. Moving on to other stuff now. And last night was the Miss Universe pageant. I know you're wondering why we're talking about Miss Universe on All Subjects Everything, but follow along now. The host of the Miss Universe pageant was Steve Harvey, the world-renowned comedian, radio host, relationship guru, talk show host. Steve Harvey has made a nice come-up for himself. Last night is not going to be one of the moments he's going to put in his memoir. I can guarantee you that. Actually, he might. But anyway, it came down to the woman from the Philippines and the woman from Colombia. Colombia. You got to say it with the long O. Colombia. So, when Steve Harvey is charged with the task of announcing who is Miss Universe 2015-2016, he calls out the name of Miss Colombia. Miss Colombia, she's excited. It's a celebration, bitches. Show me your coffee. I'm Rick James. You know, it's Coke and Blow for everybody. Except the winner was actually Miss Philippines. And instead, Steve said it was Miss Philippines. He called out Miss Colombia first. They got that wrong. Then he got the name of the country wrong. It wasn't the Philippines. It was the Filipinas. Or Philippians. You know, he was thinking about the Bible. See, even I messed it up. So, and as you can imagine, the internet is roasting Steve Harvey. And Steve Harvey really hasn't done himself any favors with the younger crowd. You know, with his Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man series of books and dating advice. But man, I don't think he saw this kind of roast coming. In fact, he wasn't even on his radio show this morning. Do you know how hard you got to be roasted to not even want to be on your own radio show? That's tough. That is tough. But I don't think, you know, for all intents and purposes now, I mean, it's funny. I mean, it happens to us all. We've all made mistakes. Remember, I'm the same guy that once read a Zane passage on the air of my own radio show after I lost a foolish bet on Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos. So I know what it's like to embarrass yourself in front of a decent-sized audience. I know what it's like to embarrass yourself in front of somebody you're interested in. Quick story before I sign off. About 17, 18 years old. This is when I first started getting on the internet real heavy. And when you're a shy, awkward kid who really didn't make out well with girls in school, when a girl is interested in you, be it long distance, you do just about anything. So, this girl calls me up and says, you know, what do you want to do? I'm just like really hyped. And instead of saying I wanna, before I said the word the two words that I wanted to say, and that you can probably assume that an 18-year-old horny ass kid was gonna say, it sounded like I was telling her to F off. She didn't hang up on me. She just laughed. But safe to say, I spent a little more time in sexual and dating purgatory. Instead of saying, I want to F you, I just came out and said, so what you want to do? F you. Yes, that happened. We all make mistakes. Steve Harvey made a mistake in front of millions of people. But these jokes going to get off, regardless. Got to be sure now. Got to be sure of what you're reading. And Steve learned that lesson the hard way. But for a man who, by all admissions, was once sleeping in his car, you know, to being like this multi-million-dollar, almost billion-dollar success, it hurts right now. I know it hurts. Steve Harvey's a proud individual. But don't think this will be the last you hear from him. But he might want to take some time off because these jokes are going to fly. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this edition of All Subjects Everything. Greatly appreciate your time. If you missed us live, blogtalkradio.com/Chris Stevens on air, iTunes, All Subjects Everything, same thing for Stitcher Mobile. Don't forget the Facebook page. Enjoy your Monday, and until we talk on Tuesday morning, y'all be good or be good at it.
My mind. I want you to be free. from the temptations.